the New York Knicks.
I'm back, back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York.
We are the New York Knicks.
New York girls.
But this new season we're about to enter, the Knicks taking no shorts, just like winter.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K-S.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast, episode 593. What a week we had, Mark. What a week.
I believe, if you went back to the predictions from last week, we said in the four games between the shows, the Knicks would go 2-2. Mm-hmm. And I believe we got the games right also. I believe we said that they'd beat Detroit, lose to Milwaukee, lose to Dallas, and beat Cleveland. Though I might have had that one reversed. Either way, we did say 2-2, and we were right. So we're perfect at the Knicks being 500.
Well, we're good like that.
I want to read a question that we have on Facebook that I just wanted to start the show with.
Okay.
Frank writes, this question is for Mark. And if you want your question to be addressed at the beginning of the episode, say, this question is for Mark. Anyway, it says, I have an almost three-year-old son who, when I turn the game on, automatically yells, let's go Knicks. Now, while this makes me extremely proud, I'm also horribly afraid for his future as a young Knicks fan. With that said, how do you deal with knowing that you put a curse on your child? I have a son and a daughter. My son, I've made a big point of trying to make him a Knicks fan. My kids now are a little older than his kids. My son is 11. My daughter is 8. My daughter to this day will just insist everything we're watching is the Mets. And I'm like, this is the Knicks. So it's the Mets. Just scream at us. But if my son, I love sports. I love watching them. It was important to me to have him like be the fan of the same teams I like. For a long time for the Mets, he was just wanted to be like, I don't know, just push against dad and be a Yankee fan just to mess with me. And now he's just kind of like indifferent to baseball, but he's okay with the Mets. But the Knicks and the Jets, he's been a fan of. And for the Knicks, my approach was to really talk up players on the team and like tell him how, wow, Porzingis is amazing. And then he got traded, obviously. Then, like, talk up Frank Ntilikina. Then for Knox, you can go back to the episode where we talked about when Knox was drafted. What I did for that episode was I saw the draft ahead of time. And even though I did not want Knox, he was one of the least – I was so against the Knicks drafting Knox. But once I knew the Knicks had drafted him, I watched the draft on DVR with my son and told him, oh, my God, I hope we get Knox. This would be amazing if we get Knox. And then when we drafted Knox, he was so excited. Anyway, talking up players for years and the players ended up sucking is the issue. Now my son basically I took my son to the Knick game on the Dallas game. Boy, was I lucky to go to the Dallas game.
I mean, out of the two games, boy, did you pick a good one.
Anyway, on the way there, we're taking the train to the city, and I'm like, the Knicks, they have this point guard, Jalen Brunson. He's really awesome. My son's like, yeah. You say everyone's awesome, that a year later they suck, and everyone sucks. All the players on the team are terrible. Stop trying to talk about player. You know you're going to hate that player next year. And I was like, holy crap. And then he's like, what about Knox? And what about Frank Ntilikina? They're terrible. Why do you keep telling me these players are good?
He caught on quick.
He caught on real quick. He at some point he was falling for it. He doesn't fall for any of that stuff. You know, he doesn't think very highly of the team. That said, he's super excited to go to the game. The first half against Dallas, the first half, the Knicks played a really close game. I think were they up after the first half?
They were up by they were up by 15 in the second quarter.
Yeah, so the first half was awesome. He was freaking loving the first half. The second half was complete garbage. But he still said he had a really good time and it was really fun. So my advice for you is, one, if you're going to talk up players in the Knicks, try to pick ones that aren't going to suck 6 months later, which is really tough to do with the Knicks. And two, my son doesn't love, I mean, some kids are more into watching the games with you on TV. My son is not, but he loves going to the games. And so, take him to at least one game a year, so he like that'll help solidify his fandom.
Yeah, but I think the question is, what do you do knowing that you cursed him? Not like, how do you further entrench him in the curse?
No, it's all about entrenching him in the curse. Screw it. Like, of all things, like, he's got to suffer with you. That's the father-son bond. Basically, if you're asking me, like, why not help him root for a team that's going to bring him lots of joy?
Why should he be happy?
Why should he be happy? I mean, like, he's your child. This is my child. Let him live with the family they have.
So,
I you know what? You could suffer, like, suffering together, like, will bond you closer together than, like, if you were just, like, let's say you were a fan of Golden State and we're like, we're winning titles. Yay. You don't really know. You won't know the value of winning. When the Knicks turn this around, I guess like 85 years from now, holy crap, will it be worth it? And you guys will celebrate. Like, my son will be 85 years. That will be 96 years old. I'll have been dead for 30 years. It'll be such a celebration.
That's what I tell my dad, because I grew up like a Giants fan. And he doesn't have a favorite team. He just, like, right before the game starts, he, like, picks a team and then he watches. And he's like, why do you do that? And I said, because you'll never be as happy as I was when the Giants won the Super Bowl. Like, whatever team wins the Super Bowl, you're like, okay, cool. Like, it feels almost pointless to me. But anyway, Andrew says, because Mark and Bri like the Mets, I decided to follow them. Silly me. So now you got adults following the Mets, too.
So is Andrew Brian and I's child?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you, Andrew.
And Anthony says my son always makes fun of me for being a Knicks fan. I don't understand how he switches team based on players' performance year by year. How smart, right? That's what the younger generation's doing. They don't have favorite teams. They pick players. And the players move around so much, they follow the player around.
The only thing I have to say about that, unless you have the NBA package, you can't really watch, like, let's say you're a Kevin Durant. Well, Kevin Durant's in New York. Let's say you're I don't know. Let's say you're a John Morant fan. Like, it's really hard to watch the Memphis games if you live in New York, unless you have the NBA package, and then the games were on late also, which is not ideal. So yeah. I feel like it's hard to root for a team. It's just easier to root for the team in your city.
It is, yeah. Especially with all the player movement. You could be rooting for a guy, and then he moves West Coast, and now all the games are 3 hours later, and you're like, well, that sucks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Here's the thing. Like, I guess if you're rooting for the player instead of the uniform, fine. I whatever. Like, but I'm more the older generation. Us are more about rooting for the uniforms.
I feel like it makes more sense to do it the other way.
Root for the players?
Yeah.
Why?
Why? Because, like, the Knicks change like 9 guys on the roster every year. So, like, I'm just basically just rooting for like a jersey color. Like,
I mean, that's what you do in college. You root for a jersey. You just root for your city. Like, it's also, again, like, it's easy for you to watch the Knicks games because they're in New York and the games are telecast. Like, you can watch on MSG. Plus, I can see the games in person if I want to see the game in person. And it's also your city. Whatever. It's all. You're right. We're idiots. I don't know why we root for the Knicks.
I mean, like, honestly, like, if you started watching in 2000, like, what is actually keeping you a Knicks fan?
Actually, I'm just a James Dolan fan. I only root for the Rangers and the Knicks because he owns them. If he buys another team, I'll root for that team instead. I follow my owner.
See, I started with JD in the straight shot and got into the Knicks through that.
Yeah, just because my fandom has never been like that, it's hard for me to understand the idea of rooting for a player, not a... And I feel most people in most sports do it that way. Like in soccer or something like that, you don't hear anyone in the World Cup being like, I'm rooting just for this player and not like my country.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like it was a lot easier to do it our way when we started watching because players stayed on the team. I mean, think about it. You had Ewing, Oakley, Starks, Mason for like 5 years and Mason left. But like you had Ewing, Oakley, Starks for like the whole decade.
Yeah, no, it's with less player movement, it's definitely easier. I totally agree with that. The amount of player movement's really annoying. I don't know how to solve that unless you do longer-term contracts, but then, like, the Knicks will sign longer-term contracts and make the things even worse for us.
Yeah, I mean, it's easier to get attached to a team if it's the same nucleus. On the other hand, it's like, at least they could get off of mistakes quicker now,
It's, you know, I like the idea of which, if you're rooting for a functional basketball team, there are highs and lows, but the highs are pretty high to make up for the lows. And it's kind of fun seeing player team construction and or team destruction if you're the Knicks
fan. I guess
fan
it's
again.
Easier having this conversation if you were a fan of a different team. Like
let's move on.
That made the playoffs on a consistent basis. It's a lot easier to root for a team that's making the playoffs a lot.
Right. You know what the thing is? I rooted for the Knicks in the 90s. Yeah, the Knicks were really great. I'm still obsessed with watching the team, and they suck for like 20 years. So I don't know. You're right. But I to a certain extent, like I think a lot of people of our generation, once they have their team, they have their team.
Yeah.
And that's it.
I feel like it's very front-runner-ish to just switch teams.
Yeah. Following, and also, how do you follow a player? First of all, everyone's saying when follow a player, I want to follow a star player. No one's following like a middle of the road player. No right. one's like, okay, let's see what team Danny Green's on this year.
Yeah, wherever Doug McDermott goes, I'm rooting for.
Yeah, so that's also the part of it I feel like it's weird because it's like you're not following a random player or like a very good. You're following like one of the top five players in the NBA always.
Right. Yeah, it's front runner-ish.
No one's like, I'm only a fan of the Knicks because of RJ Barrett. If RJ Barrett ever leaves, I'm going to be a fan of that team instead. I wish he was that good for people to say that.
Andrew said he got more into basketball and he was a fan of How I Met Your Mother at the time, which was based in New York, and he didn't want to pick a front-runner team.
Okay, that's good as any reason.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so also just to finish the face, the other Facebook question was, Rue writes, not a question, but Grimes is amazing. Who is the best player comp? Klay Thompson? I think Rue must be trolling us.
I mean, Grimes, you said?
Yeah.
I mean, Grimes has good defense, but his shot hasn't fallen yet, so you can't do Klay one of the best three-point shooters of all time.
Yeah, I mean, I like Grimes. I think, first of all, his shot's not falling this year yet. I like when he brings the ball to the end of the floor. Hopefully he ends up being a solid player. Klay's a Hall of Famer. There's just a huge difference between the two of them. At Grimes' best, there's still a huge chasm between the two.
Yeah, it's right now he's more like Bruce Bowen because he's not doing much on offense. But
I wish he was that good of a defender.
He has been getting better at distributing the ball, though. So
he's right now he's a solid player.
Yeah,
that's all. Yeah, but I don't know who the best comp is.
Maybe Danny Green.
He's what?
I was going to say Danny Green, but Danny Green's a really good three-point shooter, too.
Yeah, I mean, Grimes has to get – his three-point shooting was really good last year. He's got the form. He hasn't been back that long from injury. I feel like his three-point shot will start falling.
Let's say Danny Green.
I still think that's a tough comparison also because Danny Green's a really amazing shooter.
Yeah.
Okay. He's a better – you know what? He's a better version of who the Knicks had previously.
True. That is true.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Jay, how you doing? The Knicks also this week. My friend happened to have a last minute ticket to the Bucks game. Amazing seats. He got through someone super close to the basket, watching the Knicks lose the Bucks, and then I went to the Dallas game as I mentioned. So the Knicks get blown out by 30. But this was I don't think I've seen two Knicks games in a week in forever.
Yeah, it's crazy. And we're going to go to the Wizards game on the 18th. So how many points is Kuzma dropping?
Well, let's wait till that gets closer. The Knicks should be able to shut down Kuzma. Come on.
Okay. Jorge writes, did you guys hear about the rumor that the Mavs wanted Halliburton and wanted to trade with the Knicks and offered Brunson plus picks, but the Knicks wanted Obi so badly? So they said no.
Yeah, well, at the time, Brunson wasn't as good as Brunson was. So you don't necessarily know how well, like, for them passing over Brunson at that point wasn't insane. I think if they did that trade, you also would have questioned that trade at the time. Listen, I'm going to give you Brunson was 2 years ago, was not nearly the Brunson now. And I'm going to give you the 18th and 21st pick to get the 8th pick in the draft.
Yeah, but I mean, they were.
You could have gotten Maxey, obviously, and that would have been great. But I'm just saying, like, at the time, that would have been. We would have hated that trade.
Yeah, because I would have had in my mind that they would have drafted Halliburton, and not
right. Him. But not you don't even know how good Halliburton would be at that point. But still, like 18 and 21, and a solid backup point guard for the eighth pick seems a lot.
Yeah,
seems,
well,
seems
you know,
not a lot. Seems like not enough.
The thing is, if the 18th pick is Maxey, it sounds a lot better. But you know, the Knicks wouldn't have drafted Maxey.
Well, they actually were trying to get Maxey, so there's a good chance they would have.
So yeah, the rumor is the Knicks wanted Maxey, and so by turning down this trade, their strategy was to quietly cross their fingers and hope he was available at 23.
Yeah. Well, the rumor was they were open to either Maxey or IQ. They liked Maxey a little better. They ended up with IQ. They weren't so unhappy because, I mean, it's also hard to trade up. So they just, if you trade the eighth pick, you don't have the eighth pick also.
Yeah, but to get Maxey, they had to go from 23 to 20.
Well, I mean, if you really wanted Maxey, you could have taken him at 8. And while that would have looked like a crazy pick to make, it would have worked out fine. We would have been very happy getting Maxey at 8.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying, despite, like, I think our initial reaction is, like, LOL Knicks, but I feel like that's not a dumb, like, that would have been a really weird trade. Like Leon Rose is like, I'm going to turn the 8th pick into 2, like, late first-round picks? That seems ridiculous.
Yeah, well, the Knicks knew they tried to get everything. They knew they were going to sign Brunson because they colluded like hell.
In theory, you didn't know if they didn't even want they didn't have their eyes set on Brunson. Brunson was not Brunson then.
I think they were going to get Brunson anyway.
Maybe. But I don't think back then they were like, 2 years from now we're getting Brunson. Brunson really like stepped it up the year after.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like before, like you were thinking he was a backup point guard. And I'm just saying, like, it wasn't like, it really wasn't clear until last year that the guy could be a real starter in the league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So I don't think the worst thing, the rumor that really would have been terrible was the Knicks were trying to trade up to get OB. Can you imagine the Knicks traded like that first round pick? Like traded the 8 and like another first round pick to get OB?
Oh my. Yeah. Because, the rumor is they were trying to get the 5th pick.
Yeah. I don't know what their Knicks were going to offer, but do you want to move from 8 to 5? You got to offer something.
Yeah.
That would have been a complete nightmare if they traded up to get Obi. It's bad enough they took Obi, and again, nothing against Obi, but it's bad enough they, like, he's been so-so, but the trading up to get a guy that didn't make sense to begin with.
It probably would have been this year's pick, and this year's pick is looking pretty good now. And can you imagine, like, we go through all this season and we don't have a pick because we traded up to get Obi.
Yeah, so whatever. I mean, the Knicks could make a lot of dumb moves. I would prefer Leon Rose never, ever make a trade on draft day again. I freaking hate when he makes trades on draft day.
Why?
Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. So it was rumored after the Dallas game that Tibbs was in hot water. And it's also been pointed out basically that it was reported by Ian Begley that Leon Rose has a strong loyalty to Tibbs. So if he's going to fire Tibbs, it will. He's not going to do it lightly. It's really going to be have to like save his ass. Basically,
so then how is he in hot water?
But I mean, the rumor is he's in hot water anyway. But either way, if Tibbs thinks he's in hot water, he's going to play like a coach that needs to win every game. But even forgetting Tibbs for a second, Leon Rose has to be worried about his future in New York as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he's received a lot of crap for not making the Donovan Mitchell trade. So if the Knicks have basically year one, the Knicks overperformed. Year two, the Knicks took the most cap space in the NBA and turned it into nothing. Year three, they went all in on like locking up all our cap space for the next few years, brought in Brunson, and they still they're sucking this year. And they passed on the Donovan Mitchell trade. I am worried about what a Leon Rose will do who's desperate. I feel like there's not a lot he's going to be able to do mid-season, but this offseason could get really scary.
I don't know. Maybe he'll actually like make a move because he tried to make a lot of moves in the offseason, but didn't really make any. He signed Brunson, but he didn't make any trades.
Well, he made a lot of trades around the draft. My fear is because he didn't do the Donovan Mitchell trade, he will make a much worse trade for a player that's not deserving because he has to do something. And right now he set us back pretty far as our cap. Our cap is locked in there with a mediocre roster. I think Leon now is going to basically light our graphics on fire and set our franchise back another 5 years. I think that's what's going to happen if he gets to be the GM this summer or a team president this summer. I'm really nervous. I'm at close to the level of nervousness as I was the day Phil Jackson was like, before the draft, was like, I might want to trade KP. And he was right about it. But I'm getting nervous that he's going to do something out of desperation to save his job and save face. That's going to be a terrible move.
Well, it should be a fun offseason then.
We got a while. You don't think he's going to go like through all the draft picks and be like, okay, I've traded 5 first round picks to get Towns.
Stop.
It's something like that is going to happen.
I can't do this right
now. He's going to trade. It's going to be, it'll be like 5 first, 3 pick swaps, like all our young players. And it'll be like, we got Towns and Randall and RJ. And that'll be our roster that'll never play defense again.
We're nyknickspodcast@gmail.com. Jonathan writes, why is everybody so angry about our record? Did everyone expect something different? And then he breaks down the roster. He says, RJ, horrible on defense, too inconsistent on offense. Randall, he is what he is, good on offense, bad on defense. Grimes, very good on defense, nothing to offer on offense. Obi, right now good at nothing. Quickly has been playing better lately, but very inconsistent on offense. Brunson, the only good thing we have right now. So why everyone expects something good out of this team? We don't have enough talent, people.
So the Knicks payroll this year is $142 million. Mm-hmm. Next year, it's $151 million. I guess if you include the team options. So I guess you probably are not going to include those team options. But right now, it's $140 million. For $140 million, I think the Knicks thought they were going to be good. Like, I don't know if anyone else thought they were going to be good, but I feel like the front office thought they had a good team.
They did. I think that Jonathan's email was saying the fans, because people seem really mad that the Knicks are 11-13. And in the offseason, it seemed like everybody was in agreement that the Knicks were about a 500 team and are going to finish somewhere between like 6-11.
People are annoyed because they don't see the direction. If the Knicks were like a rebuilding team and they had this year, and you're like, well, there's some promising young play, like really promising young players, not the correct players we have. You could see we're in this weird mode where like our organization seems like it's ready for trying to trade for a superstar, where we're trying to compete now, but we're not. We don't really have really promising young players. We have so much that we just don't have, and it's unclear where we're going. The move, if you have like a young superstar, you're like, I could see if we have like a player like Ja, I could see how we can go from a 40-win to a 50-win team. That makes sense. Our young player that everyone was counting on is RJ. And I can see with RJ how we can go from a 40-win team to a 30-win team, not the other way.
My theory is the first 4 games of the season changed everyone's expectations. They won 3 out of 4. The only loss was an overtime loss to Memphis. Randall looked like Randall of 2 years ago. RJ looked a lot better. Quickly had a 20-point game. Brunson looked amazing. Hart had a couple pretty good games. And so I think everyone's like, oh God, like all these people took a leap and our ceiling has now been raised. And then it slowly came back down to earth.
But that wears off. I really think it's more about the fact that like this team seems directionless.
Yeah, but people seemed excited at the beginning of the season.
Right. Every season people start off with excitement. They talk themselves into the fact we have a point guard. You're right. Guys played pretty well. I think the overall disappointment is that like it just doesn't seem where we're going. We have weird situations like Julius and Obi. Players are playing. I think a lot of it. So this team, I think so much was counting on RJ. He was the 3rd pick in the draft. He was the guy that needed to take the leap to being a superstar. The fact that he's playing so poorly or mediocre, like not that great, really sets the franchise back, because it means all these guys you drafted there's no one that's going to be close to an all-star.
Right, right.
By the way, I'm also, I don't understand. Is there anyone that Knicks Twitter doesn't think, if just given enough minutes, will be an all-star?
If the Knicks drafted them, then no. They think the coach is holding them back. They're all all-star potential guys. And
I mean, guys, people are talking about if Obi only had 30 minutes, if IQ only had 30 minutes, if Cam Reddish only had 30 minutes, if like, it's unbelievable how, like, Cam Reddish, I like Cam Reddish, he sat yesterday in a win against Cleveland. People were like, oh my God, how did you sit the great Cam Reddish?
By the way, the Dallas game was, he had one of the worst games I've ever seen by an NBA player. It was just turnover, missed shot, turnover, missed shot, like back and forth, both ways on the court. It was really bad.
I've been pretty high on Cam as of late. I went to the game. My cousin Jay, who's hosted the show before, my son came, his son came. It was very fun. But he gave me crap. He was like, Cam Reddish, like, you love Cam Reddish. And I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, look, Cam Reddish missed a shot. Oh, look, Cam Reddish turned the ball over. Oh, look. And I was like, yep, you're right. He looks like crap. Thank you for pointing it out.
I think Cam can be a decent player. I don't think he's like this all-star waiting to be unleashed, like some people seem to think. I do also want people to calm down about the first-round draft pick the Knicks traded for him. It's not even really a first-round draft pick. So there's 4 years of protections. Last year it didn't convey. This is Charlotte's pick. This year it's top 16 protected. That's not going to convey. The next 2 years is top 14 protected. Charlotte's not going to be a playoff team in the next 2 years. And then it turns into 2 second-rounders. So it's basically the Knicks traded 2 second-rounders for Cam.
Well, they traded a first-rounder to get that highly protected first-round pick.
Well, that's a whole other story. The fact that the Knicks even had protected first-round picks because they traded down, that's a whole other story.
Yeah, you're right. How did you feel about Cam sitting out the game? It's Cam and Derrick Rose out of the game, but Cam. How did you feel about Cam? And my understanding is people are saying, Derrick Rose is not out of the rotation. He's just like sitting back to back. So he's just not going to play every game because they're worried about him being injured.
Rightfully so.
But how do you feel about Cam sitting? Was it the biggest of deal that he sat?
I don't think it was the biggest deal. So the thing is, everyone's like, well, we want the young players to develop. But look at the bench. Toppin, McBride quickly, and Hart was the bench.
Yeah.
I mean, so what do you want? You want Cam to take a better player's minutes?
Well, I mean, it's basically just the issue was that Quentin Grimes played 40 minutes instead of like playing 30. If you take out those 10 minutes, that could have gone to Cam. At the same time, are you happy that Quentin Grimes got a lot of minutes? Do we not like Quentin Grimes? Is it because is he a veteran suddenly?
He did a great job on Mitchell. Also, if Cam played 10 minutes, everyone would be complaining Cam only played 10 minutes. So it doesn't matter. People are complaining Toppin only played 13. They're going to complain that Cam played 10.
Yeah, and this also goes back to what I was saying about Tibbs being on the hot seat. The rumor is that Leon Rose really values him, but I feel like at some point Leon Rose will fire Tibbs to save face, just try another coach to basically save his job. And so Tibbs has to feel like, first of all, when's the last coach that lasted 3 seasons as a Knicks coach? It's been a while, right?
Yeah, and I think the last three lasted exactly 3. So
who was that? Woodson?
I think so.
Okay, so there's not a long tenure for a lot of coaches in the Knicks. So he's got to feel like coming up to that 3-year mark, kind of worried. And if you're worried, what's the one thing they're going to judge you on? Developing young players or wins?
Yeah, it's obviously going to be wins.
It's got to be wins. Like if you're Leon Tibbs, all you care about is winning games, not developing players, because if you develop players, you may not be here tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to see everybody get a chance, but like, there's too many guys in not enough minutes that they want to try out. I'd rather see a player for a whole game than half-ass it with 2 different players.
Right, I agree. Like, let's the how about next game? Cam gets minutes, and maybe McBride stays on the bench, or like you can just you can vary it by game. Everyone can't get 30 minutes a night.
Right.
And also, like, no matter what, Brunson's going to get his minutes. No matter how angry you are with Randall, he's on the roster, he's going to get his minutes. And no matter how angry you are with Barrett, he's going to get his minutes.
Yeah. So, just for correction, Woodson was a mid-season replacement and then coached two full seasons after that.
Okay, so
D'Antoni you'd have to go back to.
Wow. Pretty awesome track record with coaches here. I would say, Tibbs, they do have practices. Tibbs sees them in practice, and maybe guys aren't impressing him as much. Or maybe he doesn't like what he's seeing from Cam, and he felt Cam needed to sit after how poorly he showed up on Saturday. Also, McBride is suddenly getting more minutes. Maybe guys can earn minutes with Tibbs. I feel like people are giving, for so many things that people said Tibbs did wrong last year, he's kind of correcting a lot of his mistakes as far as playing the young players, and he's still getting crap.
People are still saying he doesn't play the young players, but he's playing the young players. He's just not playing only young players 40 minutes a game.
And also the whole thing with Obi not getting enough minutes. Figure out the Randall trade. If Randall's on the roster, it's going to be like this. Figure out the Randall trade for us, because the Knicks can't figure out the Randall trade, and they just don't want to trade him.
Yeah, maybe people think Obi's better, but I really think Randall's better. And if Randall's better, he should be playing most of the minutes.
They have been experimenting with Randall, Obi at the same time, but it doesn't seem that I don't know what the on-court the numbers are, but when I watch it, it doesn't seem like Obi's doing that much during that time.
Right.
It's not like it's some big advantage for the Knicks that makes it hasn't been that like great like it, so far the trial period hasn't shown that Obi plus Randall is some advantage they have to win games.
Right.
So a couple things I saw from Obi in the Cleveland game I have not been seeing as of late. The Dallas game, I watched Obi. Obi basically just stood at the three-point line, made no cuts. Every time he got the ball, just passed it back. I think he hit a three or two. I don't have the box score right here, but generally he did not look very good. The Cleveland game, I think he only went 2 for 7, so the numbers weren't great. But twice he drove to the basket, actually dribbled the ball and drove to the basket. And there was another play where he was staying at the three-point line. He did something crazy. He cut to the basket, so he got the ball and scored.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more on Obi just to do this more often.
Obi was 1 for 5 in the Dallas game.
Yeah. Is it Tibbs that makes Obi stand at the three-point line, or is it Obi's fault for not trying to take a more active role in the offense?
I'm not sure. I'm still trying to figure out what Tibbs's scheme is.
I think it's a lot of like organic, just develop stuff. So I feel like if you really want the ball or want to be more involved, you can get more involved.
So you think their offense is like Jazz? You just, however you're feeling at the moment, you just go with it.
Yes, it's like a mentally challenged kid doing Jazz. Is that too much? It's a tough. Yeah, I just think like if you see like how did Cam Reddish earlier in the season get like a bunch of points in games? It wasn't like Cam Reddish was like, can I have a hall pass and can participate in the offense today, coach?
True.
I guys get involved. Like I don't know why Obi can't figure out how to get involved. Other guys seem to figure out how to get involved. He's the one guy that's not allowed to.
I don't know. Cam looks amazing sometimes, and he looks really bad at other times, and that might just be Cam. Is that such a crazy statement?
I like Cam. I want to see more of him. He seems like he might be – he's inconsistent. I like him overall. I want to see more of him. I hope he's not out of the rotation.
So I have a fun fact for you.
And just to say on Obi – I feel like 15 to 20 minutes a night for Obi is good until he earns more minutes. He starts cutting more and be more aggressive. If he can be aggressive as RJ, then he can get more minutes.
So, best on-off defensive metrics among players with at least 200 minutes of court time. Who is number one in the entire NBA?
Wait, is it a Nick? Because or else this question sucks.
It's a Nick.
It's IQ. Yeah?
Yeah. First in the whole NBA.
Who's second?
I don't know.
Like, does the list really matter? Like, do you really believe in the on-the-court, off-the-court numbers?
Look, I'm trying to bring a positive note to the show here.
I think those numbers are really an overrated stat because so often, like, IQ will be on the court when the Knicks make a comeback, but it's also because the Knicks were down. If your starting unit sucks, it also leaves you more room to have comebacks that'll help. They'll pad your stats there.
I was just looking at the list of Knicks coaches.
But yeah, that's a nice. First of all, IQ is last couple games he's looked pretty good. Though the Dallas game, I think he got like 13 points in garbage time. So he was just padding his stats.
Yeah,
but go on.
He did hit a bunch of shots in.
But he's been looking a lot better, right?
Yeah, he has. He has.
Do you want him starting now?
No, I don't want him starting.
Would you rather have him start or Barrett start?
I feel like he's who are you playing at the three, Grimes?
Sure, why not? What is Barrett really a real three?
I don't know what Barrett is.
That's why. I mean, you could play Grimes at the three. I mean, is anyone anything real on this team? Just put Grimes out there because he's our best defender. Put IQ out there. The lineup would look a lot better. Have RJ come off the bench. That might be a better. Also, RJ and Randall. For a while, I've been thinking that they're not playable together because they're inefficient offensively. Mm-hmm. But Randall's been a lot more efficient offensively this year. I've realized they're not playable together because they both are so bad on defense.
Yeah, it's really tough to have a lineup with that. And Brunson's not a great defender. So, like, you have 60% of your starting lineup just not good on defense.
I put a clip on Twitter today of the Knicks defense, just one play from the Cleveland game. But it's just like Randall RJ both just looked like they could care less. Try out, like, RJ gets beat on the screen, like, barely makes an effort to get over the screen, doesn't like make any effort to cover Donovan Mitchell. I guess they settle into a zone, but both RJ and Randall are both not even looking at their man. They're both staring at the play, and then like the ball gets passed out to Mitchell, who no one thinks they should cover on the 3-point line, and then he hits a three. I don't know if this is like is Tibbs' system, I guess this is Tibbs' system, collapse on the paint and don't give a crap about 3-point shooting.
Yeah, that seems to be it.
I don't understand the system. Maybe the Knicks shouldn't be allowed to, like, I think zone should be banned in the NBA.
They did. I don't. I just think you need to have the right clientele to do it. Like, the Knicks don't have guys who, you have to be quick. You have to know where you're going. Like, they're not getting to their spots in a zone.
I have two very strong arguments for why the NBA should ban the zone. Mm-hmm. Okay, argument number one, the Knicks have no idea how to go against it on offense. Mm-hmm. And number two, the Knicks have no idea how to play zone.
Those are two good arguments.
So I'd like to get rid of it for those reasons. I think the Knicks should play man. The Knicks should, at the very least, the Knicks should always have two guys playing man, because guys should be responsible for guys at the 3-point line. You can't just be a zone. Not that the Knicks play zone all the time. I don't know what the hell the Knicks system is. But I also noticed that the Knicks, like, constantly on defense, like, a guy will drive to the paint, and I understand collapsing on him. Like, if Mitchell's driving the basket, I understand the center going over to help. Mm-hmm. But you don't need the other three guys on the floor to also collapse.
Yeah.
Like, it just should be one guy assigned to collapse. And everyone else stay with your man, or stay away so you can actually help close out. I don't know what the Knicks are doing. This is also why I wouldn't mind Tibbs going, just because, like, a less stupid defensive system.
So, if you want Tibbs gone, since we started this podcast, how many coaches have the Knicks had?
It's also, maybe it's not even Tibbs, because, like, if you change the personnel, because, like, when McBride is out there or Grimes or other guys that can play defense, the defense looks fine. So maybe Tibbs' system works if guys are just not terrible defenders.
Yeah, I mean, that could also be Tibbs for not putting out strong defensive lineups.
Okay, how many coaches have we had? Okay, starting at the beginning of the show, we started with D'Antoni. Mm-hmm. Then we went to Woodson. Then we went to Hornacek. Then we went to Kurt Rambis for half an hour. Then we went to... Sorry. Let me start over. I messed up. D'Antoni, Woodson, then Derek Fisher.
Yep.
Then Kurt Rambis. Mm-hmm. Then Hornacek. What's his name? The ball guy with the glasses that was terrible that LeBron recommended.
Fizdale.
Mike Wright. Mike, what was the guy's name?
Miller.
That took over half?
Mike Miller.
Mike Miller.
Then Tibbs. Yep.
Then Tibbs.
You got it. Eight coaches since we've started the podcast. We started our comedy podcast during Isaiah era. So we just missed Isaiah for this podcast, which is probably a good thing.
Very, very probably a good thing. That's a lot of coaches.
But one, two, three of those coaches had a worse winning percentage than Isaiah Thomas.
I was going to say, of the winning percentages, yeah. I imagine number one is Woodson of our era.
58%, yeah.
Number two is D'Antoni. No, number two is Tibbs.
Yes. He is two games above 500 right now.
Which is something.
It's something.
As people pointed out last year when the Knicks won 37 games, this is one of the better seasons in the last 20 years.
Yep.
By the way, what did you think of the NBA instituting a travel every 5 seconds? Call like every second they were calling a travel. What do you think of it?
They're gonna get rid of it in a couple games. Every season they the NBA seems to pick a rule and they enforce it like crazy for the first third of the season, and then they pretend that mandate never happened for the rest of the season. They did it last year with the rip through fouls. Everyone's doing rip through fouls again, and they tried traveling a couple times. They did the don't show any emotion or we'll call it technical. Then they got rid of that. Like, they're going to stop calling the travels in a couple games.
I don't mind the travel call, except for one. There's one travel call I really hate. It's the I'm going to shoot a three, and then I decide to drive to the basket, but I move my feet too soon. I hate that call.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like you're giving any, like, there's no advantage. There's no advantage, basically, to going, like, I'm going to drive to the basket instead. That travel was just like a awkward footing, and guys keep doing, but it doesn't. There's no advantage to the offensive player. It's not like when you're driving to the basket, you take an extra step. There's a real advantage. Or if you're going to shoot a three and a guy's jumping out at you, and you jump to the right and then you shoot. Well, you jump to the right there. That should be a travel.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. They call those ticky-tack ones, and then they don't call the ones where it's like palming and they're like putting their hand completely under the ball and moving it around, and like that's still fine,
yeah.
Apparently.
I still also don't understand the foot thing with like the 3-point, like the landing area thing for the 3-point shooter. But if you're shooting inside the arc, you have no landing area.
Right, right.
It doesn't. What happens at the 3-point line that doesn't happen inside the arc?
I don't know. It seems like verticality is done too.
Yeah, they don't. If you jump straight up, they should stop calling that goddamn foul. They don't call it a foul. If you jump straight up, it's not a foul. And let some contact happen. I don't know. There's a lot of like arbitrary things that happen in games. Instagram, base Nick fan writes, at what point is Dolan going to step in and possibly do something that's going to set us back 5 years?
I know everyone's like half expecting Dolan to just snap one of these days and meddle and do something crazy.
Oh, that was from Twitter, Nero. But I don't know. I mean, he hasn't. The only thing he's done is hired Leanne Rose, which hasn't worked out too well. But he hasn't done anything crazy since then.
It would be really great if he hired somebody who actually had experience for the position. I would love that.
Who could we replace him with that has less experience? He's like, you know what? Like, the next guy is going to be the CEO of Spalding the Spalding for making the basketballs.
Right. Like, it's so weird to do that.
I have connections to the company that provides our equipment now.
I mean, it would have, like, if Phil didn't happen, I would have been like, okay, maybe. But he two in a row.
Two guys in a row. And also, by the way, our GM is still Scott Perry, right?
I have no idea what's going on with that. Like
the guy who the guy who thought Knox was really good.
Yeah, Perry's just apparently a permanent fixture on the team.
He's like the new. He's the new. Who's the guy before him that we Steve Mills.
Yeah, I never knew who was making decisions. Perry and Mills. They always did press conferences together. It's not really clear.
Like everyone's assuming it's all Leon Rose. I mean, I assume it's all Leon Rose, but like. What is Scott Perry doing if he's not the GM? He's not really the GM then.
Yeah, it's...
They always talk about, like, there's, like, they're, like, some people in the Knicks organization say this. Some people in the Knicks organization say this. I always picture, like, Leon Rose at, like, the head of a big boardroom, and guys are just saying shit. And Leon Rose is, how could I be smarter than everyone?
And Allen Houston's up there somewhere, too.
I mean, at least Allen Houston's the guy, like, he's the guy that has a record with the team. I make him the team president. Okay, this is on Instagram. Los Dude writes, watch a YouTube clip of Carmelo Anthony interview on All the Smoke on Showtime about his time in New York. I'm paraphrasing, but said Phil Jackson kept him out of the loop with the team personnel moves and supposedly was jealous of his coach-player relationship with Derek Fisher. Have you seen it? What are some of your thoughts? Have you seen this? You know what he's talking about?
No, explain.
It was called, I think this is the right name, Up in Smoke. It was, or All the Smoke. It was on Showtime. It was a long interview with Carmelo, and part of it, he talked about his time in New York and with, like, Phil Jackson. He made it sound like Phil Jackson had very little contact with him in New York, and it was kind of weird, basically, his relationship with Phil.
I mean, the stories I hear about Phil is he wasn't really involved at all. He was just basically collecting paychecks. Like, other teams couldn't get in touch with him. He didn't interact with the players.
Yeah. So, I mean, which is also, Leon seems like the exact opposite in terms of involvement, as far as we know. But yeah, I tend to take in everything Carmelo said as kind of a, like, I feel like he was being pretty honest in that interview, and it just makes Phil look even worse.
Every story that comes out makes Phil look worse than the last one.
And in fairness, I think to a certain extent, Melo got a raw deal in New York in the sense of the team, like, I don't know. I guess it sucked because how he got here kind of, I mean, we're in the same kind of situation. We want to trade for a star, and you trade for a star, you lose all your assets. And that's what happened basically when they got Melo. And from there, it was really hard to build a team around him. And when they did kind of build the team to his strength, like, the first few years he was here, we went to the playoffs at the very least. And we had that big season because the roster was kind of really built around him. But then we went in the opposite way and just...
It was like as soon as they had a glimmer of cap space and assets, they made the Bargnani trade. And then that just ruined the roster for the next few years.
Right. And then they really kind of just, like, trashed the roster around him, which wasn't that fair to Melo, really.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't really here for a rebuild, and they just started doing a rebuild around him. It is what it is, but, like, in fairness to Melo, he got us to the playoffs every year that the Knicks wanted to go to the playoffs.
Right.
Well, I guess, did they go to the playoffs the year after they went, they had the, in 13-14, did they go to the playoffs? Or maybe they did, maybe they just missed the playoffs that year. I don't know. He got to the playoffs three times. Better than... Looking back on it, it's not a bad, not bad.
Yeah. So, Andrew just reminded us that the Knicks traded a draft pick for Perry.
A second round pick, right?
Yeah, but still.
I mean, it could have been. It could have been. Wow, that's.
The Knicks did not make the playoffs in 2014.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think they just missed it. There were a lot of injuries that year, including Tyson Chandler and. I don't know. I feel like, in fairness to Melo, like, the team could have been built a little better around him.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Like, he was a guy you were supposed to have built around. Yeah. So, what do we got coming up?
Coming up, the Knicks are playing, Wednesday at home against Atlanta, Friday away against Charlotte, and Sunday home against the Kings.
Okay. What will the Atlanta, Charlotte, and Sacramento, what will the Knicks record? Tell me the wins and losses here, Jay.
I think they win against Atlanta and Charlotte and lose against the Kings.
Just going to say that. I think they're going to have a big victory against Atlanta and Charlotte. Charlotte should be a game they should definitely win, and then Sacramento's going to be a letdown game.
Yeah, well, I mean, Sacramento's good this year.
Sacramento's good this year, but it's also, it's like a Sunday. Well, I guess they won yesterday, but I feel like weekend games are never are harder games for the Knicks.
Yeah, not as hard as when J.R. Smith was here, but still hard.
Yes, yeah. So what do you think, like, going forward for this team? I guess a couple questions for you. Let me try to hang on. I had a couple questions for you. Okay, so IQ has looked better recently. I guess I asked you about him starting. Has he earned close to 30 minutes a game now?
I don't know. He's had two good games in a row.
I think it's been a couple more than that, actually. I think it's maybe like four good games in a row. I'm not looking back at the box score. He's been playing better lately, generally, on offense, on shooting, and everything else. He's doing pretty well.
Yeah.
And as you pointed out, he's the best on off court. You might be able to at least screw up that stat or like see if that stat's for real.
Right. I'd say, yeah, 25 to 30, I think is fine.
Okay. Grimes, 30 plus a night now?
Yeah. He is really good on defense. And if his shot starts falling, he's going to be one of the better starters on the team.
Okay. How do you fix the defense?
I think you have to split up Randall and RJ. I think RJ should go to the bench.
By the way, how do you like the argument being made? I'm gonna debate you. People are making the argument that the reason RJ is bad this year is because he'll never be good until Randall's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna jump in here on this. Okay, Jay, you ready? You ready for our New York Knicks podcast segment, debate time.
Debate time. I'm in.
Debate time. Let's do this. Okay. I'm going to make the argument, Jay, that Randall is ruining RJ, and that's why RJ's bad this year.
Okay. You can make that point, but Randall isn't making RJ shoot bad and play bad defense.
Yes, he is.
Oh, that's a very well thought out and nuanced response.
Listen, RJ Randall refuses to pass the ball to RJ except when he does. Randall is teaching RJ how not to play defense. Randall is making RJ RJ can only shoot the ball 16 times a game. If he can have Randall shots, he could shoot 30 times a game.
Yeah, 16 shots is a good amount of shots. It's not like Randall's icing him out.
He's icing him out for 3 years. Do you know that Randall stole RJ's dog and his family?
Wouldn't that, I'm assuming it's a ransom situation, and I feel like that would motivate him to play even better, get his dog and family back.
No, he said he wants the spotlight, so RJ has to keep missing shots, or else Randall will not tell RJ the whereabouts of his mother.
Oh, well, that's different then. That's bad. Yeah. You're starting to sway me a little on this argument.
Also, I don't think you know this, but Randall invented COVID and the stomach flu to take out RJ's game.
It's starting to get supervillain vibes from Randall.
Randall also invaded the Ukraine.
Did you know Randall also gave a thumbs down?
I didn't even know about that part.
Yeah.
That's horrible, Jay.
I know.
Do you think, so Randall is signed for, I think, 3 more years. Will at any point the Knicks move on from Randall before his contract is up?
They seem really into Randall. I like every MSG promo is Randall. I think they see him as the star of the franchise.
It doesn't seem like they're making a much of an effort. They really want, and like they, what would you take? So you think Randall's, has he got his game well enough that he has value again in the trade market? Like he's not, is he no longer a negative asset?
I think he's no longer a negative asset.
What kind of trade could you get? I think people were talking about the we talked about last time, the Phoenix trade.
Yeah, Crowder and Sarek.
Well, Sarek and
Crowder.
Jay Crowder?
Yeah.
That seems like a kind of a, like a very, like, you're not getting a lot for Randall there.
To me, that's a steal for Phoenix.
Yeah. What about the Lakers? You get the 27 and 29 draft picks, and you get Westbrook to move the contract.
I mean, the way the Lakers have been run lately, those might be really good draft picks, but...
Like, you give Randall and Fournier to match the Westbrook. Westbrook doesn't have to play here. You can cut him. But just to match the Westbrook contract, Lakers give up 27 and 29 draft picks, which is a few years from now, obviously. But you get first-round picks unprotected.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the Lakers... Do you think the Lakers would do that?
The Lakers came out recently and said they are not trading draft picks.
What? So the Lakers have no interest in, like, winning this year? They're just going to be like, hey, LeBron, sorry.
Apparently. Which is seems weird to me.
And Anthony Davis is having an awesome year. You really are just like, we have no interest in winning the title this year.
It seems weird to waste one of LeBron's last years and an AD healthy season, which doesn't come very often either.
Yeah, I don't like what. Just trade both those guys then. Like, what's the point?
I don't know. It's very strange.
Okay. We just anything else you want to talk about for the team?
We just got a question on Twitter from SG. Is RJ a bust? Please discuss. He looks like a role player getting all-star minutes.
I don't know. What do you think, Jay?
I wouldn't say he's a bust. When I think of bust, I think like Stromile Swift or Hashim Tabit. But he's definitely a big disappointment. For a third pick, you're expecting better. Like top five pick, you're hoping for an all-star.
And you could live with the other guys being role players if this guy becomes the all-star. Like if he's close to Ja, doesn't everyone else could be fine and we could be like a real contender.
Yeah, I know everyone's like, oh, he's only 22, but it's year four and most NBA players are showing who they are by the fourth year, regardless of age.
He's the number one reason that you might want to value, like you might think about tanking because you need that guy and because he's not it. You might just need to go back to the draft.
Yes, I would say disappointment, but not bust.
So, first of all, I'm not advocating tanking, but it just seems like that would be helpful as far as getting a good player. But as far as RJ, like, what areas do you think he'll get better?
Well, his defense has got to get better. I mean, it was okay last year. Like, it can't stay this bad.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal with his defense has ever been. I always thought he was like a decent defensive player. He's just looks like trash this year. I feel like that's improvable.
I don't see his shot getting much better. I feel like that one good season was more fluky than what.
So, the norm. So maybe on threes you're right, or maybe he'll get a little better. But can't his 2-point game get a lot better? Just as far as not taking as many dumb shots.
Maybe he should try the mid-range game. He should watch a lot of tape of DeRozan.
I mean, his moves, it's just like, don't drive into, like, if there's no room at the basket, don't just drive just for the sake of driving.
The problem is basketball IQ. He seems to just put his head down and barrel into the traffic. He's not thinking, like, am I going to shoot or am I going to pass? He's going, I'm definitely going to shoot right now. He needs to see where everybody else is. And like Randall does that. Randall's assists are down this season because everyone on the team is shooting a career low shooting percentage. But like last season, he was getting like five or six.
If RJ would just hit the shots that Randall passes to him, like.
Yeah, Randall.
That could add another assist to game for Randall.
Yeah.
RJ, so he doesn't have the touch of Brunson or DeRozan, or he doesn't even have the touch necessarily of Randall. But he's crafty around the basket. He can, like, as long as the basket is not, like, just, as long as the paint's not packed, he can drive to the basket he just needs a bit of a pull-up game, so he doesn't have to always like. He needs something that he can do from 10 feet away, basically.
Would you trade RJ?
I don't know how much you can get for RJ right now. I think his contract makes it really hard to trade him. What would the return have to be to trade him?
I wouldn't ask for much.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
would you trade him for a top 15, let's say the 15th pick in this year's draft?
Yep. I'm over it. I'm over it.
You would trade him for the 15th pick in this year's draft?
Yeah. Yep. I would.
Were you a fan? We were doing the show when he got signed. Were you in favor of this contract?
I was kind of neutral on it. If I recall during the episode, I said it's fair. It's not great, but it's not terrible.
The Knicks signed Randall and RJ a year earlier than they needed to.
Yeah.
If you remember, we had the player option for Randall. We could have waited an extra year. And for RJ, despite him being a third pick, you could wait for the fourth year to sign the guy. He'd be entered restricted free agency, mm-hmm. but you still could have signed him then. And right now, Obi and IQ are going to be free agents. If you're going to be in their third year, it would be insane to sign those guys a year early.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not out on RJ. But I'm starting to question heavily what he's giving to bringing to us.
So I asked that question not because so much I'm saying like RJ sucks, but maybe selling a little higher on RJ, because if he continues like this all season, it's going to be really hard to trade him. But like other teams, Michael Carter Williams, rookie of the year, they trade him. Turned out to be the right move.
Yeah.
Tyreek Evans, he got traded pretty quickly. He was rookie of the year. Turned out to be the right move. Sometimes these guys just aren't panning out and you sell early and you get more than you would have if you held on.
The Knicks, Kevin Knox was once rookie of the month and the Knicks traded him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he had two good games.
Yeah, he might have some value now. I mean, it would look. The problem also is Leon Rose would look like a goddamn moron. Even though it would be like the right thing to do, he'd look like a goddamn moron to trade RJ.
I think he looks like it. He spent 2 years ago, he signed six guys, and then by the trade deadline, he was trying to move all six of them. He already looks like a moron.
So who would the team look better losing? If you lost Randall, I mean, forget the whole Randall holding RJ back,
yeah.
But who would be a bigger addition by subtraction, Randall or RJ?
I think RJ, because Randall can take over games once in a while. RJ's had good games, but I don't think he's ever been in that zone where you're like he's gonna hit every shot.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, you lose Randall, I think the record would be worse, but maybe the team would be better off longer term losing Randall.
I mean,
whereas R, you lose RJ, you still have Randall, and Randall, I do. Despite some, like a lot, there's definitely some positive about Randall, like his offense, but I feel like his energy on defense and a lot of things he does are very frustrating.
Yeah.
I don't think Obi's that great, but maybe having a faster style of play would be helpful.
Also, Randall doesn't really fit the timeline of most of the rest of the roster, so maybe it does make sense to just keep everybody around the same age.
Well, you know what the issue with the timeline is? Most of the players we need to build around haven't been drafted yet.
That is also true. Or they're on other NBA teams.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's going to be a weird thing that's going to happen this offseason. They're like, should we trade? When I heard the Knicks were thinking about trading RJ in the Donovan Mitchell trade, I was like, that's crazy. And now I'm like, oh, that would have been a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think, so can RJ turn it around? Maybe. And what's his ceiling? I mean, for a while I thought his ceiling was all-star. Now is his ceiling a solid starter?
I think so.
He could get better on D. Maybe without, I don't know. Maybe it'll be a little bit different. I just don't see also how the Knicks are moving RJ or Randall, really. What if they traded RJ and Randall for Westbrook and just moved off the contracts and did a big reset?
At this point, I wouldn't be that upset, to be honest.
By the way, I'm not that serious about that, so please don't give us hate mail for that. It is just a weird... I do think they need to move Randall. I'd like to see Randall move sooner, just because I feel like it opens some things up for them. RJ, I'm not ready to give up on, but he's had a... This is the lowest I've been on RJ.
If the Knicks actually did that, how mad would Brunson be?
How mad is Brunson right now?
Yeah, he definitely can't be happy. He didn't have to be where he was like, they asked him about being in New York, and he's like, started talking about it, like making the conference finals, and he's just like, yeah, it is what it is. I was like, well, that doesn't sound great.
Yeah, I feel like he's probably like, I'm really a New York Knick now. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I believe in any, have you lost any faith in Brunson, or you still believe in Brunson?
No, I still believe in Brunson.
Yeah, he's still my he's the one guy I really have faith with when the ball's in his hands.
Yeah.
Okay, we should end the show.
Yes. So thank you for listening, everybody. We're NY Knicks Podcast on Facebook and Twitter, Instagram, Patreon.
We have Chrissy Alley died.
Well, that's a great note to end the show on. Thank you.
I'm just saying, I got an alert on my phone came up with Chrissy Alley. I was a huge fan of Cheers. Cheers for those younger listeners who are just anyone younger than me, was a show about a bar in Boston. And she was a great character on the show.
I don't even know where to go
from there. You were not a fan of Cheers. I think Cheers is an all time great comedy. I would say not top five, but I'd say top 10 all times. Cheers.
Can I finish the, where NY Knicks?
I thought the rest of the show could be about Cheers.
Okay. All right.
This is this.
Bye.